Right. Extend greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask you to help us to be faithful to you, bring glory to you. Lord, we just ask that you would help us. Lord, as we open your word, that you would give us wisdom and understanding, Father. Lord, we just know all good things come from you, and without you, we can do nothing. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles this morning. We're reading four places here, but we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Verses here, and then we'll. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Just want to emphasize a little bit of what this is saying. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. Then it goes on, for in the way you judge, you will be judged. So many times in the Bible, we see Jesus laying out that we are responsible for our own judgment. We are responsible for how God is going to treat us. You know, we can easily get caught up in which rule we're going to enforce, or which rule or which law we're going to really put an emphasis on, and what standard we're going to maintain or what we're going to do. But it comes right down to when we stand before God on the judgment day, what Jesus says is that what we've tried to hold on others, is the way we're going to be judged ourselves. I think we lose a lot of trying to be like Jesus, just the way we treat others. You know, there's things that we don't always understand. We might not have everything just right when it comes down to the things that we believe. But this one thing we do know, that how we treat others is how God is going to treat us. The two laws that Jesus said that everything hangs on: to love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourself. You know, we can find Bible verses that prove or disprove almost anything. We've talked about that before. I can just about any argument you have in the Bible, I can take the other side and use Scripture to refute you or to challenge you. But yet, we get so confident in our positions that we begin to trust our positions instead of trusting God. You know, I don't know how many times in life I've had to change my mind. And I thank God for the ability to be able to read the Bible and learn something new, learn something different. Even though I may have really put my faith in, you realize how much faith you have in what you believe instead of who you believe. Because it'll shake you to your core sometimes to realize, wait a minute, I've been wrong. I might have even preached about some of these things and just really jumped up and down that And then you realize you grow and you learn a little bit, or you read a little bit, and we see people that change, you know, and oh, in these firm, solid groups, if you change, you're just falling backwards. There's no question about it. If you don't just maintain everything that the church 10 years before you did, or the church 50 years before you did, you're just changing everything and backsliding. And so we've got to maintain the standards that have been passed down for us, and we become so rigid in them that we miss some of the very simple truths that Jesus taught us. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. We can't see God in the form that we think. And there's a Bible that says, how can you love, or the verse that says, how can you hate God, how can you love God when you hate your neighbor? You can't see God. And if you claim to love God and then you hate your neighbor, you've missed the whole thing, because God's expression of himself is man. God placed man here. And if we can't love people who we do see, how could we ever love God that we don't see? And I think a lot of times we have our faith in what we believe. We see that so often in many of the evangelical churches, that you've got to have your doctrines. You've just got to believe in all of this row of doctrines. And if you believe that, you're a believer. I know there's one at, or several that clubs that are, I think it's a sermon index is what they call it, that anybody can send their sermon in just so they believe this one set of little doctrines. And if you can say yes to all of them, you can send your tape in. But if you don't, you can't. And everything is so, we're just going to maintain these things. And the more fundamental we get, the more we have to maintain or try to restore the things that were lost before, instead of following Jesus. We just completely miss him sometimes. It looks religious. It looks right. It looks strong. But it ain't him. He's not in it. This verse is just so powerful here. If we would just know these things. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. What is our greatest fear in eternity? Is standing before the Lord, wondering how God is going to look upon our lives, the way we lived. Wondering, you know, we have the picture of this great throne and people just crying and begging in front of it when God reveals our life to the world. And we think, oh, I hope, you know, I don't know how strict this is going to be. And we're fearful. But Jesus gives us a very clear picture here. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. That's very simple. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you again. People use these verses and anybody that corrects them or criticizes them or tries to show them a better way, they use this verse and say, oh, you don't judge, you'll be judged. That's not what it's there for. This is for an individual. This is for us. It's not something we measure each other by. It's something we look at ourselves by. How critical are we of other people? Not just, you know, there's a God sends preachers. God shows us to show people another way, to show people a better way. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whenever I can look at someone and just say, wow, they're not doing what I'm doing. Instead of looking at ourselves, how am I judging other people instead of looking at myself? Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? We can't see the log that's in our own eye because we're looking out at other people. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? Jesus said, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. How many people are just thoroughly convinced that they don't have a log in their eye? And they can go around and just look for specks in other people's eyes. How many people are just thoroughly convinced everybody's eyes have got specks in them, and their log has been removed? Do not give that which is holy to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. It's all in the same little passage there. Okay, let's turn to John. Chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus is the light of the world. He's just finished talking about this woman that was caught in adultery. And he spoke to them, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. You're bragging. You're saying something about yourself. That can't be true. You're not supposed to say anything about yourself. Then Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. This is Jesus. He just found this woman committing adultery. How did he treat her? He said, go and sin no more. And then later he says, I'm not judging. I didn't come here to judge people. That is not my purpose. I came here to be light. I came here to be the light of the world. And I am that light. Anybody can condemn. The devil is the master condemner, the accuser of the brethren. Jesus himself came into this earth. He could have had his whole bag full of rocks if he wanted to. But he said, I came and I didn't come to judge. I came to be the light of the world, to show people a better way. How easy is it for religion, for someone that's not doing something wrong, to look at other people and see how bad they're doing? That is exactly what Jesus is speaking to here. We get puffed up because, well, I would never do that. I would never do that. We've been protected. Young people, you've been sheltered. You didn't get this yourself. It ain't nothing you deserve. Just by the grace and blessings of God that your parents or your family or your church or somebody protected you from what people are going through every day in this world. They don't know how to do any better. You've been given a precious gift to be shielded from all those things. And the absolute worst thing you can do is think you ain't got a log in your eye when you see everybody else. That is the most sinful, ungrateful thing that you can do. That's who Jesus is talking to. He's not talking about those dirty sinners out there in the world. They can do better. Look how they live. Jesus said, he wasn't talking to them when he said, judge not. He wasn't talking to them at all. He was talking to people who've been protected and sheltered and given a good opportunity. He said, here is where you're going to completely blow it. Here is where you're going to sin much further past what people who don't know any better. Right here is where you become an abomination to God. Jesus came into this world. Came from heaven. Don't you think he could look at people and say, oh man, this filthy bunch of people, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm not where they are. But he didn't. There was sin all around him. And he rose above it. He rose above it. He didn't get entangled in the little trap called self-righteousness. He rose above it. And said, I didn't come to be the judge. I'm going to forgive people every chance I get. I'm going to show mercy where I can show mercy. I'm going to show the heart of God to people. That doesn't mean you don't obey. That doesn't mean you don't do what's right. But don't get a log in your eye. See, that's... You know, we've dealt with people. People that come into that are in the world in the worst kind of drugs, alcohol, whatever you name, anything. And they can be set free. I've seen it. We've seen it. We've been there. They can be delivered. They can be set free. They can be forgiven. They can be cleansed because their sin is dirty and black and ugly. And you can see the difference and you can come out of it. I've told people, I've seen drug addicts. It's easier. It's easier to get a drug addict to follow Jesus than someone that's been religious all their life. Because their sin isn't black to people. Their sin isn't ugly to people. Their sin looks really good. Their sin appears wonderful. What do I have to repent of? I've never sinned. And that's what Jesus goes on to address here. Later on, the people... After he says, I'm not judging anyone. But 16, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Verse 24 says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So they were saying, Who are you? Jesus said, what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. He who sent me is with me, and he is not left alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to them, Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, then you are disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered and said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free? Jesus answering them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly I say unto you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than Abraham our father who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that you do not know him, I will be a liar. If I say that you do not know him, if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am he. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Right here, there's another place that Jesus said, if you say that you have no sin, your sin remains in you. You still have it. And that's the heart of what these people are saying here. And Jesus was talking to him, you cannot hear my word. And he's talking to people who lived lives that no one could reproach. No one could speak anything against. This is who he's talking to. We've got the idea that the Pharisees and the scribes were some kind of just dark, snidely, whiplash type people. But these people actually believed, and they actually thought they were doing what God wanted them to do. They actually believed that they were keeping the laws of God. That they were actually pure in what they were doing. They didn't have a question about it. They were doing right. But they had one problem. They had a big log in their eye. They didn't know they had the log in their eye. They had the big log in their eye. And when Jesus came, speaking simple truth to them, they wanted to take stones and kill him. They said, "You are a devil for what you're saying. We are the descendants of Abraham. We are doing what Abraham told us to do. Moses is our father," they said in one place. "And we're doing what Moses told us to do." And Jesus said, "No, you're not." That was so offensive to their ears, to their holy ears, to have someone tell them that they weren't listening to Moses, that they weren't following Abraham, and that they were not from God. That was just the unspeakable thing to them, that they could not and would not hear. And yet we find them standing right in front of Jesus, wishing they could kill him. What kind of religion is that? They had become so set that they had the truth that Jesus, standing right in front of them, saying, "Wait a minute. There's something. You're missing something." And they wanted to kill him for it. They had no doubt everything that they held to in their doctrine and their creed was the absolute truth. But it's not about what we hold in our creeds and doctrines. If Jesus came and told us something that we thought we were right on, could he change our mind? Could Jesus change our mind? Or are we so staunch holding to the faith that was once delivered to the saints that if Jesus stood right in front of us, we'd be so mad at him? We'd be so angry with him, we'd have to excommunicate him, we'd have to get rid of him. We'd have to put him away from us. Because he's not gonna take away from something I believe. Romans chapter 2, we'll read a verse or 2 there. It says, verse 1. Verse 1, chapter 2. "Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who pass judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by persevering in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Okay. In chapter 1, he was talking about the homosexuality, the slanders, the haters of God, the arrogant, the boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they have hearty approval to those who practice them. Then he says, therefore, you have no excuse. Oh, man. See, again, he's talking about all these bad people out there in the world. And then you have these religious people who are ready to judge them and condemn them. And he said, you've got the same thing in your heart. It's all there. I don't know how many times. Just it happens everywhere. It's one of the best tactics that Satan has. Because whenever I see something wrong in me, I eat somebody else up with that very accusation, that very charge. You put the person who's just trying on the defense by making all these charges and accusations and judgments against them. And the reason you can see it so clearly is because your heart's full of it. It's because what you are inside. Not in a merciful way. Are you trying to help someone? You're trying to justify yourself by making somebody worse than you are so that you'll feel better about yourself. And you cover it all up with getting the spotlight off yourself and showing it on somebody else. The Bible says that which is exposed is already gone. But that which is hidden, that's what's going to be revealed on the judgment day. May the Lord help us to hear what Jesus is saying. Not just be religious. Not just be strict. I'm not talking about throwing away everything you believe, but practice it. These things, read in James 1 verse or 2. James chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. So speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. So speak and act so as to be judged by the law of liberty. See, there's a different laws that we can put ourselves under to be judged by. You see, there's several different levels of law that the Bible talks about. And we choose to be which one we're going to be under by the way we do. we choose which law we're going to be judged by. So speak and act as to those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Law of being set free. And realizing the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness and all of those things that we've received that has set us free. And live and speak like we were a sinner and God reached down and touched us out of His mercy and His kindness and goodness. Live and speak like that's how we were forgiven, instead of living and speaking of how great a thing I've accomplished by keeping everything all perfect in my life. See, there's a couple of different choices here we have to how we're going to be judged. Verse 13, it says, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy." Wouldn't that be wonderful to stand before God and He just say, "Okay, mercy, off the table. I'm going to judge you with absolutely no mercy. Absolutely no care, no concern, no compassion. Whatever you want to put on there, you can take that off the table right now. Forgiveness? Yeah, we can just, God said, yeah, I can take that off the table. I can take mercy off the table. I can take love out of the picture. Now let me look at you." "For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy." But then He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. How to be an overcomer? Mercy triumphs over judgment. We can put mercy into the picture on the judgment day. We can put forgiveness into the picture on judgment day. We can put compassion and charity into the picture on judgment day. Or we can take it off. We're building our own day. It's not a haphazard, "We're just all going to die. Yeah, we're just going to die and stand before God and whatever He decides, that's it." No. You're shaping the book you're going to be judged at. You're shaping the temperament of the judge. You know, wouldn't it be bad if we did something wrong and we stood before a judge and he had a bad morning? I mean, he might have had a flat tire. He might have burned his toast. He's just mad at the world. And we stand before him whenever we've done something wrong. And he just throws the book at us because he's got a bad attitude. It's not going to be that way with God. He's going to look right into us. Say, "Now I'm going to judge you according to your own speaking and acting," like it says in one other place. Praise the Lord. May God help us to build the kind of judge to be judged by what we need to be judged by, instead of what we take off the table. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask you to bless us today. Help us to have grace and mercy. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. We're so helpless and alone without you. Lord, we need you. Father, we just thank you again for your mercy and kindness you've shown toward us. Help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen.